Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What's going on, everyone? Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you, off and rolling on this Wednesday morning. Well, big day, NBA draft day. Obviously, a big opportunity for the 76ers, and we will talk extensively about that. Only a couple players they could really choose to pick, but they could choose to make a trade. So we'll see. We'll be all over that. Philly's very irritating loss last night. Ranger was phenomenal, and the bats absolutely stunk. So we got a lot to get to there, especially with the Rojas at bat at the end. Some Eagles to mix in and more. Phone calls all through the show. Your chance. A lot to weigh in on at 215-592-9490 for Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Roman soldiers back in the day used to eat garlic before every battle. They believed that garlic had mystical properties, but to give them courage, strength, and stamina. And it was the traditional pre-battle food.
I wonder
and they
if
also
it's
thought it would improve athletic performance as
You know why it does, because people say, I got to get away from you.
That's a thought.
And then they back
I was
up.
Wondering if it had something to do with vampires and where that legend comes from. Like garlic, you know, that's interesting.
Not sure.
I don't know either.
Courage, strength, and stamina.
But a good factoid. I like that one. I don't like the way the Phils ended last night. I do like
they
the fact
not
that
eat
the
garlic
no.
Last night.
So I do like that the Sixers had the third pick in the draft. Now I'm not happy how they got here. All right, let me just put this out to start. We want to hear. Look, we want everyone on the record today. Who you want? Is it last call for not alcohol, but for the third pick? Who do you want? Who do you want, or what do you want them to do? It can be, you know, give up a ton to try to get up. But everyone says it's going to be almost impossible to get Dylan Harper, too. You could slide back. You could make a trade and completely get out and trade for a veteran NBA player. Or you could do what they will probably most likely do, probably, which is just pick a player at three. Know this. ESPN, their rankings have Ace Bailey as the third best player in the draft. ESPN, from a mock draft standpoint, has the Sixers taking VJ Edgecombe. So just know that, you know, and I think the ESPN people probably have it wrong, is my guess, because I don't think Daryl Morey is going to be as flummoxed by Ace Bailey not meeting with the Sixers as people perceive, but we'll see. So we'll know more before we go to bed tonight. It does set up for an exciting day. Curious, honestly, how much you even care at this point, because I know interest has been pretty low. And then, of course, who you want, you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. No matter how you slice it, it is an opportunity to improve. And so, obviously, we desperately want them to get it right. Your chance to weigh in, 215-592-9494. Now, let's get to the Phils. John, what a wasted opportunity. I mean, wow. Ranger was just...
Ranger was magnificent.
Oh, my God, he was amazing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
He went deep.
And
his pitch, the count, it wasn't that high.
No.
And it all felt so good.
Right.
Despite the fact that we were just sort of dribbling along and limping along and the offense was nowhere to be found. We knew that it might be tough.
Well, no Bryce. You got Sosa in there. Stott's not. It's not a good lineup. I mean, it's just the bottom of the lineup was really weak. You know, you
got. Houston's got.
Yeah,
pitching.
It's just so, and look, that pitcher's really good also. I mean, him and Ranger were you know, side by side, parallel for a while, until Ranger gave up the homer. I mean, got to say it. But look, Ranger was great. So here's the deal. Let's start with the end of the game. Because obviously we could do a ton on Ranger, and it is phenomenal to know that he's pitching this well. I think he's really back, honestly, to where he was in April and May last year. I mean, he's in that zone again, and it further complicates the offseason and the stretch run, and there's a lot of good things there. But let's start with the bad, because they did lose, and obviously a lot of the chatter after the game has been about the final at bat in Rojas. So here's the deal. If you don't know, let me just bring you up to speed if you don't know. Bottom line is, at the end of the game, the Phillies trail 1-0. It's the eighth inning. The Phils have one guy on because Hader, who's one of the best closers in baseball, had hit a guy. So the Phils have a dude on first base. There are two outs, and Rojas is batting. Now, I've got four different issues, four, within this one at bat. And I'm curious kind of what cheeses, you know, everyone the most, 215-592-9494. Four different issues. Issue number one, and I'd say this is the one that got maybe the second most discussion after the game. Issue number one, should Rob Thomson give Johan Rojas this at bat? Now, remember, you got an outstanding left-handed pitcher on the other side, an hitter, and you got Rojas, who's a right-handed hitter. Sosa had already started in the game. He's in the game. I mean, he already batted in the inning. So the,
and Buddy Kennedy started as well.
Yeah, and Buddy Kennedy started. So the bottom line is, here's your bench at that moment. Now, and by the way, let me answer the question. Should Rojas get the at-bat? No. Here's your bench options. Stott, Kepler, Marsh, Marchand, backup catcher. Now, would I give Rojas the at-bat? No. John Ritchie, you're Rob Thomson. You've got door number one, which is player in the game, Rojas, or Stott, Kepler, Marsh, Marchand. Who gets the at-bat? Bryson Stott.
I don't think it's Rojas.
No, it's Bryson Stott or it's Kepler. Because that's the easiest transition in the outfield.
I've seen Bryson Stott start to pick it up again recently, and that really makes me feel good. I have been so worried about him physically, though, knowing that it was now like a nerve thing, that he was sort of hiding from everyone last year.
Yep.
Makes me worried about this time, but I think he's doing some things that prove to me that it, to all of us, that he can do this.
To me, it's very clear.
If he's an option,
it's either Stott or Kepler.
Kepler's an option, yeah.
And I'm not saying they're great, but it's Stott or Kepler.
They're both better than Rojas.
Correct.
And that's the last chance we had.
And I'll take my chances with a lefty against a tough lefty. And I'm not saying it's ideal. It's not. It's not ideal. But I'd sure as hell rather have Stott or Kepler batting in that moment than Rojas. That's issue.
So that's the biggie, yeah.
Well, okay.
That's a problem.
That's issue number one. Now let's get to issue number two. Issue number two is that this is the group Dave Dombrowski gives Rob Thomson. So let me frame it another way, and certainly for those old enough to remember some of the players I'm about to say, I think this will resonate with you. Here's what Dave Dombrowski has not given Rob Thomson. A Matt Stairs. Some of these guys are going to be lefties. Some of these guys are going to be righties. A Matt Stairs.
That's on Dave, too, though. There's a lot of lefties, man. That's part of building a team. I'm adding into that. You're like, oh, you know, like the lefty thing matters.
It's all on Dombrowski when it's the choices, because these are the players Rob Thomson's given. Here's what Dombrowski has not given Rob Thomson. A Matt Stairs, a Greg Dobbs, a Kevin Jordan, a Greg Gross, a Ricky Jordan. Like, these are all quality players that the Phillies could bring off the bench in many different parts of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. I mean, this is a part of baseball. And part of why Rob Thomson doesn't make the change last night, he doesn't feel great about the Stott or Kepler option. He doesn't love his bench. I mean, his best bench player, Sosa, was already in the game. By the way, you know, did okay last night at times, other times not as much. But, I mean, the bottom line is it's a weak bench. We've known it's a weak bench. We've seen that in the postseason. We've seen how that has hampered Rob Thomson in critical moments, specifically last October against the Mets, when he didn't really feel like he had great options to go to when you have a struggling player, because you don't really have a better player to insert in many cases. So Dombrowski's here's who you got, Rob, comes into full freaking focus when I blow a Ranger game because I got Rojas with a guy on first, two outs, and he's my batter. All right, that's issue number two. Now let's get to issue number three. And matter of fact, to set it up, let's listen to Hal within the broadcast last night. And this was really well done by Ruben Amaro and Tom McCarthy on the NBC Sports broadcast. Reminder, 2-0 count, 9-hole hitter. Trey Turner, who's been swinging a good stick on the on-deck circle. The opposing pitcher has to throw three strikes before two balls, where I got guys on first and second, and my one-hole hitter coming up, who's a righty against a left-handed pitcher. Listen to the way, and this is so well done, when it was 2-0 in the moment, listen to how Ruben and T-Mac broke it down.
2-0.
I would really like to see Johan take a pitch here to give, put a little heat on Hader to throw strikes, especially with Trey Turner hitting next.
Nope. That was ball three. You got to take a pitch there. I know you're not going to always get a fastball, but you're down one. You're in the top of the ninth inning. You're the number nine hitter. This guy's got three hits, two extra base hits against Hader.
Totally agree with you.
Just such bad baseball. I mean, I guess I can't even, like, I thought of Larry Brown. Larry Brown in basketball used to say, let's play the right way. And I know how to play has changed in difference. I get that. NBA players shoot threes like crazy in ways Larry Brown wasn't coaching when he was there. Baseball players approach hitting different. This is just dumb, bad baseball. I mean, John, I need Rojas to know. By the way, for those that don't know, it was a foul at all.
Why does it seem like he commits these dumb, bad baseball errors so frequently?
He's a bad player. At the major league level, would he beat me or Fritz in a little baseball competition coming up in a week or so? Yes.
Easily.
Can he beat Hader? No.
No. All of
James, how much did it annoy you, the whole Rojas at bat?
So it obviously drove me crazy. Yep. I to be honest though, of the things you talked about, the Dombrowski thing drives me the craziest because you should have someone you can bat in that spot.
You
Josh
really
Hader is one of the toughest lefties in baseball. Literally, he is the highest paid closer. Like, he is a stud. You should not have a right-handed hitter on your bench. You can come in that spot. Like, that's freaking crazy to
me. It's horrible.
So I would have pinch it Kepler or Stott. I totally agree with you. I'm not worried about the defensive thing. Marsh was on the bench. You can bring
and
Marsh
by
in.
The way, I'll figure out the bottom of the ninth.
Well, yeah,
in the
Marsh
bottom
can come
in
and play center field. Like you're good.
This is you can do that. This is my last. Like, I also just need. I need to extend the game.
Of course.
The game is about to end unless I get a run.
Yeah.
I
mean, it was infuriating. I can, if it, like, I can,
I'll put Marchand in center field if I have to.
I can understand.
Whatever.
I can understand swinging 2-0 in that spot if it's a pitch down the middle of the plate. And I get not having, like, I think Rojas should have the choice to swing there if it's anywhere close because he's not going to get a great pitch from Hader. And Hader, if Hader challenges him, he will beat Rojas. Like, Hader could just throw strikes against Rojas.
Of course he can.
So, like, ultimately, Hader has such a massive advantage in that at bat, which is what we're talking about.
But at the end of the day,
Johan Rojas.
Yeah, well, first off, Charlie Manuel, three words. Know thyself.
Exactly.
Know thyself. Which, put another way, in Larry Brown's lingo, thyself? I don't know about that. But put another way, in Larry Brown lingo, it's, hey, Matt Harpering, your job is to pass the ball to Allen Iverson. Like, Johan Rojas' job, if he's given the at-bat, and he shouldn't have been, is somehow, some way, to get on base.
Pass the baton.
To pass the baton to Trey Turner. And by the way, if you missed it last night, Hader hit the first batter. I think that was Buddy Kennedy? He hit Kennedy, but Kennedy swung. So it counted as a strike, even though he got hit by the pitch. Then he hits the next guy.
Well, Kenny was the one who got hit. It was the one who swung. I think so. Was it Sosa who swung through?
I don't. No, he hit Sosa. No, he hit Sosa.
Hit Sosa. Sosa Kennedy swung through. Sosa got on base. Yeah, but Sosa was ahead of Kennedy in the order. That's what screwed me up.
He's hit two players in the inning. He's wild to Rojas 2-0. Now think about how dumb this is. And Rojas is the worst.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Phillies hitter that's an everyday player I've seen in like a long time is like, oh, good idea to swing at this one. Dumb baseball. Let me get to one more thing, dumb baseball. And you can react to all this 215-592-9494. And I wish I wasn't so riled up, but here's why I am. I view all of this through the prism of the month of October. This isn't about a game in late June. I mean, it is, but it's not. This is all about trying to win a championship. And let me take it to one more level that also bothered me. And I'm curious how many people thought of this in the moment. Why did Rob Thompson give Rojas a green light? He is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Manage the moment. I mean, I know this. When I played, you'd look down. You know, now if nobody's on, nobody's out, like, you don't have to look down to third base coach. But if it's a situational baseball situational moment, and this is a situation, there's a guy on, it's 2-0, it's the nine freaking hole hitter, one hole hitter coming up, 2-0, wild pitcher here, okay? He was a great pitcher, but wild in the moment. This is a moment where Rob Thompson's got to say to the third base coach, got to signal to him, you're signaling to Rojas, don't swing! Don't swing! I mean, what's my approach against Jack Fritz next week going to be? He better throw strikes, John, or I'm going to win.
He's not Josh Hader, though.
No, he's not.
A little different.
No, he's not. But you know what? Hader was wild. And so when I say view it through October, this is the kind of Rob Thompson thing. I don't want to bite them in October. I need Rob Thompson to know his job is like Sirianni. Be the commander. Be the commander. Don't let... So Rojas should know not to swing. But here's the thing. Because he doesn't know not to swing, and we've seen enough from Rojas through the years, he's a confident player, overconfident. I need Rob Thompson in that moment in the dugout to signal to the third base coach, it's a hold sign, it's a no sign to Rojas. Don't swing. And he obviously don't do it.
Yeah.
John, that whole combination...
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know
that
what I mean?
That's a problem.
That's a problem. That's the manager's job to manage.
Right. You've got a deficient player. You have a method that you could figure out that you can help him.
Yeah,
and just remind him to do the right thing.
It's really irritating. And this isn't Bryce Harper, who, by the way, you would trust in the moment. This is Rojas, the worst Phillies semi-everyday player in a long time. So, look, there's a lot
He's a liability that you do have to manage. You have to manage so that it doesn't weigh the rest of the team down. And you failed in that moment.
You did.
I think it's a good thing to point out.
And that's my thing about October and Rob Thompson. You don't want to see them lose playoff games in a playoff series because of moments like that. It's just an annoying way to lose a game. And then you hear Rob Thompson say that after the game. I mean, come on. I know in many ways he does the Andy Reid thing. I'm going to stick up for the players. I get it. We all know it. But I tend to think he thinks that way. See, that's the difference. Andy Reid actually knew Todd Pinkston stunk. He just wasn't going to admit it. But the bottom line is...
Everyone knew.
Right.
Pinkston stunk.
Right. But like when Topper says what you just heard, I mean, Ree, when you play that audio, right?
It's annoying.
It's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm annoyed listening to it, and I've already played it for myself 10 times.
Yeah, it's just...
There's no excuse for it. I mean, listen, and I've said many times, you know, you didn't lose playoffs because of Johan Rojas. But in that situation, that is, first of all, it's Dombrowski's fault for him being on the team. But it's your job, as you said, the moment.
Yeah.
Manage the moment. You are not winning against Josh Hader with Otto Kemp, Sosa, Buddy Kennedy, and Johan Rojas.
That was brutal at the end.
I mean, my God, are you kidding me?
I know. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. What do you make of it? The way the Phils went, like literally went down last night.
With a whimper.
With a whimper. And also, who you want the Sixers to draft. Get on the record. This is it. Draft is tonight, 8 o'clock. Sixers obviously will be picking not long after it starts. Third pick in the draft. It's sort of exciting, semi-exciting. I am starting to get...
What do you want to do?
Well, I want to get to the phones, and I'm going to give you that answer coming up shortly. Let's go to Aaron right now in Reading. Aaron, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, pal. What do you make of it, Aaron?
I knew it was going to be bad last night when I saw Buddy Kennedy walk up and there was no pinch hitter.
Well, that's the thing. They could have almost pinch hit for the whole inning. I mean, as Rhea just said, that was like the opposite of Murderer's Row. That was really, really big. And you know what
the problem? And then we all have lefties. It's all lefties. Except Martian is a switch hitter. You're not putting in that spot. Like, I mean, it's insane that you had a string of righties who stink at the end of the lineup and a bunch of lefties on the bench.
I know.
What is this team?
Yeah. Go ahead, Aaron.
Ill-prepared.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the analytics side of everything with the righty-lefty matchups, but in that moment, you have to understand who has the better bat, and Stott knows how to take pitches and get walks.
Yeah.
And Kepler's been in the league for a little bit, so I think he would have a better chance at it.
Totally. And let me be clear. I mean, we'd be very clear about this. Let's not act like Stott versus a lefty or Kepler at all are great options. They're not great options. Here's what they are.
They're not automatic outs.
They're not automatic outs. They are better options than Rojas. Period. End of story. I mean, Rojas, man, they can't do it in October again. They can't. All right, Aaron, I appreciate the call. Devin,
well, hopefully this
he stinks,
is the
man.
No, he's horrible.
He's just not.
He's horrible.
He is not a Major League Baseball player.
He's brutal. Devin, of all of it, which part of it bothered you the most?
The fact that, you know, this is what the Phillies team looks like when they're facing a lefty. Like, I put most of the blame on Dave Dombrowski. Just the fact that you're rolling out, and I know that Bryce Harper is injured, but like, Buddy Kennedy and Otto Kemp in left field, like that's what you're rolling out with. And I know the lack of putting in, I agree. I think Stott or Kepler should have been put in. I mean, Kepler, your quote unquote big offseason acquisition, and now you're platooning him and he's not even going to see action in a game where they need to score and get on base. You're going to go with Rojas instead. It just is kind of mind blowing. But when it comes to Dombrowski, like to set up the team in this way, it kind of was the outcome that I think I expect a lot of people expected on Sunday night against the Mets. When it's a rubber match and the series is tied, and then you look at the lineup and it's like Buddy Kennedy at first base, Otto Kemp at left field. I know Otto Kemp has been doing well, but like you would think that a guy like Buddy Kennedy, you want to get reps against a bad team, not a team like the Houston Astros.
He's so not intimidating looking. Buddy. And everything about, even his name.
Well, his name is Buddy.
His name is so
unintimidating. I expected Joe to go there.
His name is like welcoming and friendly. And then you look at him and it's like, man, he's not someone who's scared. When he steps off the bus, you know, whoever
another non-major league baseball player on the roster starting in games.
But real quick,
to the point of the pinch hitter thing, Rojas has a better OPS against left-handed pitching than both Stott and Kepler.
It's not shocking because those guys have struggled.
Marsh has the best OPS against lefties of all the guys we're talking about, which is crazy. He's only at 33 at bats.
Just don't trust him.
I agree with you. I would have pinch hit. I'm just saying, I think to Devin's point, the team, the roster that Dombrowski has given Topper, Topper does not, like, yes, I would have pinch hit there too, but I think it's a lesser of two bad decisions. I don't think any of those guys in that spot is the right person to face Josh Hader.
Look, it's just brutal, and it washes away a Ranger thing. The other thing I'll say is let's not totally let the guys at the top of the order off the hook here. Now, Trey had some hits. But the reality I thought he had two.
I think he had one.
Oh, maybe. But the reality is the Treys, the Schwarbers, the Casties, the JTs, these are high-priced pet players. And throw Boehm in there. He's not high-priced, but he's Alec Boehm. They all took part in a game where the Phillies scored zero runs.
They had so many chances,
Joe. They did.
They had two on in the first with
you know who made the last out in the second and fourth? Men. Rojas. Rojas in the second made the final out with two guys on, and he made the final out, maybe it was the second out of the inning with two guys on in the fourth.
It always finds him. Spot always finds him.
Which was all, by the way, part of not churning it enough was why you got the freaking bottom of the, because it is kind of on the rare side, nine-inning game, bottom of the lineup, fourth time round, batting. But the Phillies didn't get runs, so they didn't get to the top of the order.
They were over-aggressive in the game last night. They swung at a lot of first.
Well, Rojas needs some help. Needs to learn how to, what do they call it in baseball? Hit?
Play offense.
Or I could have taught him how to walk. I could have. Take, right. Thank you.
But if you're Rob Thompson in that situation in that press conference last night and you're asked, did you consider pinch hitting for Rojas? How do you answer that?
He has to say no.
No, I don't know about that.
It's Submarines Rojas. After you've already done it, like
you can support him by saying, yeah, I considered it, and I went with him. I thought he was the right guy for the moment. Supporting him in that
I just
case.
Don't think it's necessary. I think if you're going to, you already made the decision. You already did it.
I understand. Like,
say, I never thought of it. I trusted Johan in that spot.
Here's what I'd say. I think he can look better answering it either way if he answers it better. He can say no, I did not consider, because Rojas is my guy. Like, in that moment, I thought he gave us the best chance. Or I can say, yes, I did consider it, but after quick consideration, I said, no, I'm not going to do it, because Rojas is my guy. He can say it with a certain degree of authority and a certain degree of command.
How you try to dress that up, man, it does.
I just don't think it's worth it.
But the way he answers it, in that case, he
has to care more about his team than us. Like, in that situation, it's the same with Sirianni. Sirianni does not throw his players under the bus ever. And you talk about being the leader. Like, that's what Nick does. So I think in that case, the decision itself we can rip, but I don't think the explanation after is
all right.
Rippable,
well, look,
everyone
can chew on all of it. Let's give you two different Twitter poll questions of the day today, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question: what bothered you the most last night? With Rojas's final at bat to end the game. Choice A, Dombrowski's bench stinks, meaning, what the heck? These are the options. Choice B, Topper not pinch hitting Rojas, not getting him out of there. Choice C, Rojas choosing to swing at the 2-0 pitch. Or choice D, Topper letting Rojas swing at the 2-0 pitch. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Second poll question. Because obviously we asked the question yesterday, who do you want the Sixers to draft? And while it wasn't a majority, the player that got the most votes was Edgecombe. Well, today we ask you this question, because there's a real possibility the Sixers walk away tonight with a guard. Could be Edgecombe, could be Trey Johnson. They get like a legitimate just guard. If they do, it creates a logjam with Maxey and McCain. And so we ask this question. If the 76ers select a guard in the first round tonight, which player do you think is more likely to be traded before the Sixers season starts? Is it A, Tyrese Maxey, or B, Jared McCain? I think there's a real chance they would trade one of them if they draft a guard. By the way, could happen tonight. So put all that through your mind and get voting at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And certainly you can weigh in on the phone lines as well. Speaking of weighing in, you can also weigh in on AMA. What do you want to know? Best questions will make the show 7:20 today. We'll do AMA. Normally we do it at 7. We're doing it today at 7:20. So what do you want to know? Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways that you can interact with the program. Now, you can also interact, obviously, on the phone lines at 215-592-9494. And in doing so today, win a cool prize, because we're giving away a pair of tickets today to see Bare Naked Ladies. It's the Last Summer on Earth tour at the Met Philadelphia on July 22nd. Tickets are on sale. They are available at Ticketmaster.com for this concert coming up in a month. Ticketmaster.com. Here's how we give them away today. First off, we honor the great movie Sleepless in Seattle. Fantastic movie from the early 90s. I think it was 93. And, of course, at the end of Sleepless in Seattle, you know, the scene at the Empire State Building is based on a love story, but it's also based on the location. I mean, that's a central part of the whole movie that they discuss, you know, that they're going to meet at the you know, top of the Empire State Building, and then they do. So it's a beautiful scene. It's a great scene, and it's a scene where the location is centrally involved in the storyline. Today at 215-592-9494, we ask you this question. Give us a great scene that the storyline is directly tied into the location where it's happening. There's a lot of ways to answer this. I mean, for instance, Saving Private Ryan obviously is right there, you know, on the beaches as you know, the warriors, the heroes from D-Day storm the beaches, you know, and ultimately, you know, defeat the Germans over time, but make big inroads that day alone on the beaches of Omaha Beach and et cetera on down the line. All right. So give us a great scene where the location is critical to the scene. John Ritchie, what are you thinking? Best answer by everybody today. Whoever provides it at 215-592-9494 is going to go to Bare Naked Ladies. What do you got, John?
Oh my gosh! I'm just like imagining the sound of the music of the Last of the Mohicans soundtrack pounding in the background. You know that I want that for the bed for our show. Just that sound with the bed. Just the whatever that song is. But the "I Will Find You" scene where he then jumps into the waterfall and it's so dramatic. The unbelievable "I Will Find You" and I'll prove it.
Yeah.
Watch this. I'm going to jump into this waterfall and engage in this impossible quest to go battle back and do the, you know, the impossible, including win you.
No, I like it. The only thing I'll say is I wish there was like a little more hook to it. Like earlier in the movie, they discussed, because Sleepless in Seattle, it's discussed. I'm just saying, to me, a little more hook, a little more hook will work for me.
Maybe a little more hook.
Like they talked about earlier in the movie. I'll prove it to you. I'll even jump off a waterfall if I have to.
That'd be weird.
It would be weird, but I'm just saying it was a little more circumstantial in the moment than led up to for a half hour and a half. That's all I'm saying.
So you want it even more.
That's pretty hard. I don't know that there are that many locations that lead up to it.
We'll see. Devin, a scene in a movie where the location is critical.
So I say this bravely because I know that absolutely no one, you know, on this show right now is going to understand this reference. It's very millennial, but Lizzie McGuire movie in the Roman Coliseum.
Okay.
You're right. I've never seen that.
I haven't either.
I was like, when she's like, no one's seen it. I was like, we'll see about that.
It's a classic.
Fair enough. It's an instant. It's a new classic. Seltzer, give me a scene where the location is major.
I'll go with maybe a little bit more of a classic than the Lizzie McGuire movie. I actually just rewatched it for the
first
time.
Lizzie McGuire really is a classic.
In 20-plus years. The Central Park scene in Annie Hall where they're making fun of everyone as they're sitting on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, so let me just ask one question, James, before you start picking up these phones as they come in. Mm. So, like, the end of The Wizard of Oz.
So I think it has to be a real place.
Yeah, a real place.
I think it should
Meaning
be
what?
Like a real life location, like a place that you can that we could go to theoretically.
Yes. I think and Kansas would not.
Yeah,
count.
So it wouldn't be like the bar. The bar. Kansas. Yeah, I mean it would count. It just wouldn't be a great location.
I'm bad in Kansas.
Like the Star Wars, the Cantina Feliz, or what is it called?
Yeah, the Maz Eyes.
I agree
with you, James.
Like that's a great scene location, but it shouldn't count. It should be a real life.
And Oz is out. You're saying?
Yes, I'm saying Oz off the board.
Okay, I'm down with that. It's got to be a real-life Earth location, or Mars, theoretically, but we don't know much about it. Rhea, give me an answer. What do you got?
This is an old-school classic, and immediately when you mention it, the Mount Rushmore scene in North by Northwest is phenomenal. And you, by the way, if you ever want to read about it, it was a huge
great answer
with the government
over
filming it there because they didn't want Hitchcock to desecrate it.
Wow.
And he faked some scenes, and it was a whole to-do.
Well, some think it'll be desecrated when my big old face is up there in the year 2087, years after I've died, and they say, and we're going to honor former President John F. Kennedy.
Oh, gosh.
All right. What do you got for a great scene where there's a real location, and it's central to the scene? Best answer, whoever provides it, is going to win the Bare Naked Lady tickets. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to let's go to Brandon right now. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Brandon.
So I'm surprised that you guys didn't mention this about Rojas. I was sitting there watching last night, and I'm like, they're really not going to pinch hit for this guy. And it made me think back to the Marlins series where they took Castellanos out for Rojas. And it got me thinking there's a lot of speculation about what was said in the bullpen for Castellanos to be taken out. And I now, after seeing Rob not take out Rojas last night, it makes me think that he might have said, you're going to take me out for this guy.
No, we speculated on that the day after, Brandon. We put it out there that was going through our minds as a possibility. And maybe that's why Topper zapped him a game. You know, maybe Rob Thompson could take it if it was about him, Rob Thompson. But if it's a
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
About a teammate, you know, he's like, I got to put my foot down on that one.
Yeah. So it made me think that, you know, maybe he kept Rojas in last night just as a little side piece to be like, hey, Nick, this is why I kept him in if he would have done good.
You know what? You know, so Brandon, I hear you, and anything's possible. And I think one of the things that it is rooted in is that Rob Thompson is trying to build the confidence of Johan Rojas, which is an admirable thing to consider. But after, I don't know, what's it been now? Maybe 300 games he's been up. I mean, let me give you, for instance, Brandon. Let me give you some players in recent years that have just had to deal with their lot in life as a player on a team. The Eagles' third wide receivers. Like, once the Eagles got A.J. Brown, and you had Devontae and A.J. Brown, not to mention Dallas Goedert, not to mention generally pretty good running backs, and obviously this past year an exceptional running back in Saquon. Like the Dotson guy, the Quez guy, who was the blocker guy from the Colts in 23?
Oh, Zach Pascal?
Zach Pascal. Like, Brandon, they all understand their role is to often block, occasionally go out there for a route where basically they're just dragging one defender to try to make it 10-on-10 football. The ball's not coming to them, but like they're just taking a defender, you know, out of the play somewhere else. And, like, that's their job. And they all have to accept it or Sirianni won't play them. I mean, like Dotson actually showed in the Super Bowl, and I think it was there was a couple of games late where he actually started circumstantially getting the ball. But everybody knew, for the most part, ball wasn't going his way. And you know what? It shouldn't. Because I got A.J. Brown and Devontae. I got Saquon and Goddard. Hurts is going to run it. Hurts is, like, it is what it is, man. Like, Rojas doesn't have to get the at-bat just because Rob Thompson wants to give him an attaboy. I believe in you for the future. I mean, it's just, it's garbage.
Yeah, it's very true. And I believe that it's not Dombrowski's fault. I do believe that it's Rob's fault that they didn't pull out Rojas last night. And if they were to have pulled out Rojas last night, I would have liked to see Stott bat, because that's who I thought that was going to come in. But because he can, you know, he can work around the ball. He can get you a walk. He fouls the ball off six, yeah, seven times, but you know what I mean?
And it matters to him a lot. I know he's going to do everything he can to wring every ounce of offense out of that at-bat.
Well, he's also played better lately. I mean, last night on the broadcast, yeah, he was the Philly of the week because, you know, he hit 300 over the last six games. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Brandon, give me an answer, pal, for a great scene that's based on a location.
So I didn't have a lot of time to think about this. So I came up with Fargo because they had that in Minnesota.
Yep.
And they perfectly portrayed like a Minnesota lifestyle.
Do I have a scene here? I can't have a whole movie. I need a scene.
I do not have a scene. I only had a couple seconds.
Go the wood chipper. The wood chipper scene.
Brandon, thanks for the call, pal. All right, let's get on the record on the draft. So we've been kicking this around for a few weeks. There's not that many players, obviously, to choose from. So the way ESPN ranks up the players, after Dylan Harper at two, obviously Cooper Flagg at one, the rankings for ESPN, their final rankings, have Ace Bailey at three. That's the Rutgers, you know, shooting guard slash small forward. A little bit more of a small forward, 6'7" and a half. Very long, long, long arms. VJ Edgecombe, who's a real true guard, shooting guard from Baylor, 6'4". They've got him fourth. ESPN's got Trey Johnson, again, another just sort of more classic shooting guard, 6'4", close to 6'5", shooting guard from Texas, fifth. And then you've got Duke's second player in the draft, you know, Connor Knipple, sixth, shooting guard, small forward type, a little bit more of a tweener. We're really choosing between those four. But also on the table for everyone here is I want the Sixers to trade for a veteran NBA player and chase a title. I don't, but you might. Spike said that yesterday. He thinks the Sixers would be best served trying to actually go for it, which I think is insane, but, you know.
Go for what, Joe?
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go on the record. John Ritchie, it's a who or a what? Because the what is, I want them to trade for a player. You don't know quite who it is, but try to get out, or it's a who. Who or what do you want them to get, John?
I want the guy who's most ready to make an impact on this team now in case Joel and Paul George decide they are playing. And they are capable of holding up. I mean, I still am not convinced that Joel will be able to hold up in postseason play. But if those guys actually try, Joel and Paul George, mm-hmm, I want a guy who's ready to play and win now.
I think it's insane. So
you
want
the best Con Knipple, and he'll be the three. He's the oldest. He can play now.
He is the oldest. To your point, he is the oldest of those four, and like by a year, Cooper, and that can make a difference.
I think that makes a difference.
Now,
saw him when Cooper Flagg went down the ACC tournament. He sort of took Duke on his shoulders, proved that, you know, he can do a lot. He can make a lot happen. And this is a versatile player.
Okay. I'm moving quick.
For us.
Devin, who do you want? What do you want? Talk to me.
So I don't think that they should trade for a veteran player, but I also understand. I mean, you look at the injuries around the East, and I mean, with Jason
wide
Tatum
wide
out,
open.
Yeah, it's pretty
poor. Porzingis traded, by the way.
Yes.
Which makes them even worse.
So, like, that is something to keep in mind. And I was kind of just like, when Tyrese Halliburton went down, my first thought was like, I mean, A, it's awful, but B, you know, does this change the approach the Sixers should take?
You want them to go for it. You're pulling a Richie here.
The door
is open.
I kind of want to mix. I want the best of both worlds, which I know is like probably not possible. A player that can come in almost like Jared McCain and make a direct impact. Of course, he went out with injury, but make a direct impact. But not necessarily, you know, like I don't expect him to come in and be an MVP, but to come in and be productive on the floor. And I think the player that's most ready to do that, who can play without trading a McCain or a Maxey, even though He is a guard, is VJ Edgecombe.
Okay, and that's the player many people think they're going to get. Seltzer, what do you got?
Take the guy with the highest ceiling. I don't care about this year. I don't expect Embiid anything from Embiid. Like, take Ace Bailey. Mm-hmm. He seems like the highest ceiling. I don't care if he wants to come here or not. Like, take Ace Bailey.
Okay, Rhea, what do you got?
Amen, James. Ace Bailey is the guy. Whether or not he went, there have been plenty of players who have not wanted to have their visits or come, you know, to places. I think this is because I don't have expectations. I don't need to drop him in right away. He's 18 years old. Everything I hear is the highest upside. My concern is them developing him.
Yep.
But Ace Bailey is the guy I want.
So I'm double amen. I'm amen to Seltzer. I'm amen to Richie. I go Ace Bailey as well, and really I echo the sentiments. I mean, to me, the higher upside is the ultimate key because I don't believe in the short term. So I'd rather get the player that's perceived to have the highest upside. I'm okay with giving him time to develop. This, for me, is not about trying to chase a title with Embiid. Sadly, I wish it was about trying to chase a title with Embiid. And, Devin, you are right to say the East is wide open. No Halliburton, no Tatum, no Porzingis,
no
Drew Holiday. It is wild. I mean, Greek Freak could get traded.
Yeah,
he could get traded to the other conference. So, it is as wide open right now as could be. But I'm still not going to trust Embiid and Paul George to chase a title. I also think Ace Bailey's probably a better fit with Maxey and McCain because if you draft a true guard, you're going to have to trade one of them. I mean, you're just going to have to. Whether you do it in the next 3 months or you do it in the next year, you just cannot have all these guards. And I swat aside the concept that he rebuffed the 76ers. I'm not happy about it, but I swat it aside. I mean,
given what the Sixers have been through in the last five seasons, maybe longer than that, don't you think that it's not worth the risk to bring in someone who doesn't want to be here and could potentially cause drama?
That's his agent's problem. From everything I've read about this kid, his teammates,
he's getting
love
bad
him.
Advice.
That's what I believe. But his coaches, reporters who've covered him, they love him. They said this kid is a great kid. He's getting terrible advice.
Well, he seems like he wants to be great too. Yeah. Like he cares about where he lands. He cares about what happens to him. Like I don't hate that.
Yeah,
he
didn't
make
either.
His team great.
No, he didn't. I mean, they didn't even make the tournament. But all right, so look, who do you want or what do you want? You know, it can be veteran player to chase the title, which is more appealing with the East in such shambles. But with that said, I don't trust Joel. I just don't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.